This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Yesterday, we sat at the breakfast table, listening and watching a dear friend of ours over 40 years weeping as she related to us the account, the stories of how God used her husband in her printing business, in their printing business, to lead so many people to Jesus Christ. Even those who came with, well, adulterated affections, people who were engaged in perversion, sexual perversions, and so on, as they watched, as they listened to how they conducted their business in the name of Jesus, there was a hunger that developed. There was a thirst that developed for righteousness and a profound sense of conviction that would come over. One gentleman had resisted the call of the Lord for quite some time. His wife was deeply concerned. He was a fine young man working in the printing business, but he just seemed so resistant. And so one day, my printing friend said, "I think you're ready. I've talked to you so many times. I think you're ready." And he said, "You know what? Not yet." And so my friend put his co-laborer in his Porsche and began to drive back to the business after lunch. And the Lord spoke to his heart right in the midst of the freeway in Southern California and said, "The man is ready. Pull over on the side of the freeway and ask him." And he did, and tears began to gush out of that man's eyes. My friend asked him to kneel on the floor in this tight Porsche 911, and he cried out to the Lord for forgiveness. And the rest was history. Now, why do I share that story with you right up front here on Viewpoint today? The reason is because God has a place for you and for me in his kingdom, and to prepare the way of the Lord for others for history's final hour. And we don't always recognize it. God sometimes has to speak to us through someone else to get our attention. And then all of a sudden the lights come on, and we begin to see life differently. Today, on Viewpoint, you have that opportunity to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Our guest today calls it the Yes Effect. He's been involved in working in the kingdom of God for a very long time, and he's encouraging us today to accept God's invitation to transform the world around us, around you. He calls it the Yes Effect. Louis Bush, joining us on the program today from Chicago. Louis, it's good to have you on the program.
Chuck, thank you so much for having me.
Well, these are trying times. These are testing times. But there have always been trying times and testing times, haven't there?
They certainly have. You go back many, many years and centuries, and you'll find them.
The time of Jesus was a time of great testing. The disciples were tested tremendously, even in the glitches of Christ calling to the cross. Every one of them fled at the crucial moment of time. We don't normally think of that. We think of Peter being the one who denied the Lord three times. But the Bible says every single one of the disciples fled at that moment. And there's
right.
a tendency among us as professing Christians to flee when God calls, isn't there?
There certainly is.
Now, tell us a little bit about your background. You've written this book. I was so fascinated in reading it that I almost wasn't ready to bring you on for the interview. And so with that in hand, tell us a little about your background and what brings you to a place where you would even write a book like this.
Well, I've been watching God working through his people who say yes for many years. Now, 40 years in Christian ministry, coming out of a rather nefarious background myself from the streets of São Paulo, Brazil, as a gang leader at the age of 9 years old, recruiting others to do mischief within our community. And then God called me out of that when I was about 18 years old to himself and to set me on a different path. And in that path, gradually observing out of Latin America as the original place of focus in ministry, mm-hmm. El Salvador during the 7 years war that took place there and 70,000 lives being lost during that time. And then out of that into a global ministry, focusing on the most challenging parts of the world, like the so-called 1040 window countries mm-hmm. With the highest level of social economic challenges, at least access to Christian message. So it's been in that journey that God has moved in my heart to see the effect of those who say yes to God.
Isn't it amazing that God would work in the life of a gang member in Sao Paulo, Brazil, to unite him to himself, and then over a period of years, give you a vision for the whole world, and you've been used powerfully among the Christian leaders of the entire world, haven't you?
Well, God knows that. I'm just his servant, and right. I follow his lead.
Well, I agree with that. You've been involved with the Luzon Conference for evangelicals and evangelism throughout the world. You've been involved as a visionary to stir in the minds and hearts of so many Christians to reach into the most difficult area of the world, which you call the 1040 window. And so I guess the story is pretty unusual and amazing in one sense, in that people just don't normally think that God would take a gang member
right.
and convert him to such a right. position for his kingdom.
Right. I think it's coming out of the great need personally that one begins to open one's heart to see needs that are beyond oneself. And it took a long journey, and it took totally a God perspective to begin to work in my life, to begin to see the challenges. Initially, when we were in El Salvador, that was a war taking place, and we could see it firsthand with people dying within our church and going to many funerals to attend to the parents and the families. Mm-hmm. And so being so close to this and the issue that people are really looking for a way to respond to their realities. And in that context, we saw so many that turned to gangs and mm-hmm. turn to an expression of resistance to the government and then warfare that emerged. And it, in that journey of being close to some of those and seeing God at work, especially in the midst of great need, is how gradually the journey continued to develop over time to see that 1040 window and move in response to that challenge.
Well, that's very interesting because El Salvador means the Savior, doesn't it?
It really does. It's a very small country. It means a Savior, right?
Isn't that amazing? And yet there were so many dying right in a country called the Savior, based upon the Savior of the world. And here you were in the midst of that, and now you're in the midst of Chicago that needs El Salvador, that needs the Savior because you've got the highest murder rate in the country.
I mean, we're not very proud of that. That's one of the tragedies of this city of Chicago that we're living in right now.
Yeah.
And we need a lot of help, a lot of prayer.
Well, that's for sure.
Change.
All right, we'll talk more about that after the break, friends. The yes effect. The yes effect. Are you prepared to say yes to the Lord? Are you sure? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Thousands of times a day, we stand at the crossroads of saying yes or no to choices that come before us that God puts in our pathway. Stressed from our overpacked lives that cry out for us to stand ever vigilant, deciding what and how much we can say yes to and still maintain a balanced and purposeful life. Yet many of us are saying yes to the wrong things. And we're missing out on the purposeful life that God would have intended, that would have brought fulfillment into our lives. Today, we want to look into that, probe into that a bit with our special guest, Lewis Bush, and Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, YWAM. You may have heard of it, one of the largest mission organizations in the world, says Lewis Bush is a global visionary who carries the heartbeat of God to bring hope and transformational change to the poor, the oppressed, and downtrodden of the world through the message of salvation and the principles of God's Word. He says, I highly encourage you to discover his secrets through reading The Yes Effect. They will work whether the next step God is asking you to take is big or small. Well, we want to make the book available to you. It is a $15 book, and I'm taking the liberty to provide it to you for $10 here on the program today. Because I want you to be encouraged, and I don't want there to be any financial inhibition in your getting this book to be stirred in your own mind and heart. Go to our website, saveus.org, that's saveus.org, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check at $5 for postage and handling, and we'll be thrilled to put the book in your hands so that you can accept God's invitation to transform the world around you. You see, you and I cannot transform the whole world. There's no way. And Louis, I'll never forget, I had been practicing law for 20 years in Southern California. The Lord spoke to my heart, saying, Son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause in the land as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. We formed Save America Ministries in October this month in 1993, 24 years ago. And it was shortly thereafter that a former Sunday school teacher of mine, who was a bit known for his sarcasm, met me at one of the largest churches in Southern California, just fortuitously there. And he said, Chuck, what are you doing these days? And I said, well, I'm leaving the practice of law, and we just formed Save America Ministries. And he said, well, at least you didn't bite off more than you could chew. And, you know, I have never had the feeling that yours truly here was capable of saving America in and of myself. Yeah. But I do know somebody who is, and that is Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And isn't it fascinating that the founding documents of 12 of the original 13 colonies in America had the Great Commission as their raison d'etre, the very reason for their being? Isn't that fantastic?
It is. It is.
What a heritage.
Yes.
And the question is, what have we done with the heritage? Because now, having sent forth missionaries all over the world, we're sending forth just the contrary in terms of promoters of abortion, promoters of homosexuality, promoters of perversion, gross and ungodly entertainment. It's as if we become the Jezebel of the world. That's a hard one, isn't it?
Really is.
It's a very hard one because it's so contrary to what God ordained us to do and to be. And yet there's a remnant that's remaining here that wants to do the will of the Lord, I think.
For sure.
And you're part of the remnant, and God raised you up. And I'm curious as to how God got your attention as a druggie or a gang member there in Sao Paulo, Brazil, to bring you to this place. How did he do that?
Well, the first step was to get me kind of exposed. So the official there of government that was in the region and the municipality arrived at our home one evening and said, and it happened that was the day that my dad came home early from his work at the shoe factory, and he was standing by the door where he was normally at work, and This person knocked and said, you know, we've heard that there's someone here who's causing a small group to bring about disturbances in our community.
Oh, wow.
Do you know about anybody like this? And so my father, he did not hesitate. And it so happened that I was right beside the door next to my father and hearing this official. And he said, well, I think it's probably this person right here. So he pointed right to me at that very moment, and I was caught. And then he gave me a good discipline that I deserved and that began to shape. And then I came to Christ, and everything changed in my life. In those very same streets of São Paulo, not very far from there, from one of those missionaries sent from the United States, who was open to sharing with me the good news of Jesus Christ. So that changed my life at the age of 18 years old, and it put me on a new path. But it took being found out, and it took then being coming to faith, and then it was a journey of listening and observing what God was doing in the midst of the great conflicts that we faced immediately in El Salvador and beyond, that there was a step-by-step process from there.
Well, it shows that God is no respecter of persons, doesn't it?
That's true.
And what an amazing thing. He's in the business of reclaiming and redeeming, and there is no gang member, no druggie, no one who is beyond his saving power.
That's Christ. The greatest drug group in the world in terms of violence is coming out of MS-13, clearly the country of El Salvador, when we were there, they were emerging to join the ranks of those bringing opposition to the government and have turned into this gang. And so it was in that experience in El Salvador that we realized that, again, out of the greatest challenges can come so much fruit, because out of every one of those who died physically, at least 10 were estimated to have come to faith spiritually during the 10 years from the time that we were there, not because of us, but because of God at work in the midst of the crises. We saw a whole movement of cross-cultural missions that always was practically from the West, or at least North America, plus others from Europe and the West. And that all of a sudden became something the Latin Americans said, it's for us as well. And they began to send out missionaries, and the Latin America cross-cultural mission movement arose. I was invited to the different countries to see if it was happening in other countries or throughout all of Latin America. And now they've just celebrated 30 years of being in cross-cultural mission mobilization with some 3,000 servants of God from throughout Latin America. So you see that out of seeing these places, the same in the 1040 window, not only the greatest spiritual, because of least access to the Christian message, but also the highest level of socioeconomic challenges in the world. And what's happening, they are becoming a new force for global mission. You know, the Chinese church that was part of that 1040 window, the largest place, has now got, in 10 years, expected to have the largest Christian population in the world. And sending out, I've been part of a movement called the China Mission 2030, to send out 20,000 Chinese missionaries by the year 2030.
So, well, you know what's interesting about that? What's interesting about that is that the president of China, in their great communistic gathering just last week, declared his vision that China would rule the world within 30 years.
Amazing.
So you contrast these two. Is Christ going to rule the world, or is China going to rule the world?
There is a lot of persecution, but in that persecution, there's an army that's being raised up for Christ in China, and they're moving out throughout the nation, having influence, and now moving across the world. I mean, in two of the recent major events where they're thrusting out and calling forth, and their plans and their training, and so it's happening.
All right. Now, in your book, you are portraying, sharing the interesting stories of amazing people all across the globe who have realized their potential and God's will by saying yes to the right things at the right time for the right reasons. And it's led to an adventurous, faith-stretching odyssey, as you say, that culminates in joy. Now, in this country, I would dare say that most Christians are bored. They live such a boring life. They go to church on Sunday or Saturday, whenever it is they're going to worship, and then everything else is just business as usual, like it was in the days of Noah. And what you're saying is that these folk you're talking about in your book here don't live lives like that at all. They're exciting.
They really are exciting. And very often it takes pressure in the situation around you to make you have to reach beyond yourself. And true transformation, we find, is sparked when we reorient our hearts and get in sync with God's tenderness toward the need, and then regain compassion and respond to the lost. And it's not so easy to experience that in the United States.
Right.
But in other parts, it's very real because the situations are so challenging.
Well, I remember, it may not be the same kind of situation, but when I was at the height of my law practice after 20 years, and the Lord said, "Hey, son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to sell everything you have in Southern California.
My, that's a big
30
step.
Years of business, ministry, and political investment, and go to the birthplace of the nation. I'll show you what to do." So
beautiful.
I mean, and life has never, I mean, I've never led a boring life. I've done mountain climbing. I've done a lot of things, but life has never been boring. And in the 24 years since we formed Save America Ministries, I'll tell you, every day has been pretty exciting.
Chuck, you don't regret it then. There's no moment that you said, "I wish I was back in that business."
No, neither my wife nor I have regretted one moment of it. It doesn't mean there aren't challenges. And, of course, you've met challenges like that as well. And that's why I think, even though this is an issues-oriented program, people might not think that this kind of subject would be part of what God would have us to do. But I think it's right at the heart of it. That we need to come to a place where we say yes to God. And it may mean that we have to open our minds and our hearts to tune into His Holy Spirit in ways perhaps we have not understood or been willing to do in the past. Yeah. And we can do so with both faith and courage. And the rest will be history. God's glory is held in the balance. And that's why I think the book is something that should be so inspiring to many of us. Friends, again, the book is called The Yes Effect, Accepting God's Invitation to Transform the World Around You. It's a $15 book, and we're making it available to you for $10 here on the program today. We want you to get a copy of it. We want you to be inspired. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to be strengthened, have new vision and hope. And it doesn't matter how old you are.
Right.
Now, I was 48 years old when the Lord spoke to my heart that way. But, you know, you might be 72 years old, and God is speaking to you right
now. That's what I am, yeah.
Is that right? Well, you and I are sharing the same birthright then.
Yes.
And God can still use 72-year-olds, can't He?
He certainly can be using you. I can hear that, yes.
Oh, well, you know... The idea, friend, is there is no age beyond which God can use you if you say yes.
That's it.
You don't say yes, but. That's a very dangerous thing to say. That's what the 10 spies said there when they were supposed to be heading into the promised land. They said yes, but. And only two spies said yes, and they got to go into the promised land, and the others did not. In fact, the others that said yes, but, led the rest of the congregation of professed believers in such a way that they were denied entrance into the promised land. Now, I don't want that to happen to you. I want you to be one who says yes, not yes, but. So here's the book, The Yes Effect. $10. So put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. And after the next break, we're going to open up some windows into the 1040 window that our guest Luis has been talking about, and see what that looks like. Where are those people? And give us some insights, a window into their lives and the challenges they've faced and the glory that God has brought in their spheres of influence. So stay tuned, friends. We've just begun to fight here.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint, our viewpoint concerning the kingdom of God and our role in the kingdom of God, or lack thereof, is determining destiny. And oftentimes we just don't realize how it our attitudes, our thinking, our viewpoint is or is not determining the kind of destiny that God would have for us. And if we don't say yes to the Lord, then we find ourselves constantly backpedaling, constantly trying to find a place and live in a realm of remorse. Speaking of remorse, it's like a fearful or stubborn no to God that leads to all kinds of what-ifs, or if-only, or shoulda, coulda, woulda, regrets. We can all relate to that. The great tragedy of saying no to God is that we'll never experience the unsurpassed joy of a divinely orchestrated achievement that could have been life-changing, not only for us, but also for those who intended to bless, for us to bless through our lives. Well, I'm thinking back, speaking of this 1040 window and those who were involved in the early days of the launching of all of this, the latest in missionary focus and involvement. I was practicing law in Pasadena, California. And Pasadena, believe it or not, people don't realize this, but it was the very heart of much of the developments of evangelical Christianity in the 1970s. And one of those was the launching of the mission effort there, the World Center for Missions in Altadena, California, Dr. Ralph Winters. You were somehow affiliated or related to that, were you not?
Yes, I was a good friend of Ralph Winter, and he was a great encourager for the mission of this Latin America cross-cultural mission movement and two-thirds world cross-cultural movement, and then the 1040 window, mm-hmm. and then the AD 2000 and beyond movement, which is an effort to see the church present the gospel to every people group and to every person through the church members by the year 2000. Uh-huh. These were the events that I was facilitating, catalyzing. And Ralph Winter was a very strong supporter, an inspirer of those movements.
Yeah, what you didn't know is that my aunt was his personal secretary.
Oh, I knew her. Yes.
Mildred Rylander.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? What a small world.
Right.
What a small world.
Wonderful.
All the way back into the 1970s. Okay. Well, it's good to kind of bring the world closer together, even as we look beyond our borders into the 1040 window. So tell us what this 1040 window is. People have heard about it. What is it?
Well, it's the region of the world that comprises those people that are most, not only spiritually without Christ and without hope in this world, mm-hmm. but they're also materially. And that's the thing that really amazed me as I did the research on it. It's 10 degrees north or 40 degrees north of the equator from West Africa all the way to East Asia. Mm-hmm. Those countries that comprise of that region, when you do the research, in that particular time, there was availability of a new software program called Atlas GIS, mm-hmm. which allowed you to take information, and I was in the business of business consulting, mm-hmm. and being able to put it on a screen and take a table and then be able to see the map emerge right away on the screen. And so it was at the same time that that information was being available country by country, the percent of people that were under this level of health and in relation to their income per person, and then their access to share the gospel and their response to the gospel. So there were many indicators. That was all happening at the very same time. So a person who was designing the Atlas GIS program called Pete Holst was a friend of mine, and he gave me a copy for free. So at mm-hmm. night I would look at it and see the information, and it was in that process that suddenly the awareness that there was a concentration globally in terms of geography of where the spiritually least access to the gospel and response to the gospel people were, mm-hmm. but also those with the greatest need from a standpoint of access to education, a standpoint of income per person, and a standpoint of a female literacy. Those were the three indicators that kind of indicated the well-being of a person. So you mm-hmm. combine that, this map came out, and Time Magazine got a hold of it and published it and did a beautiful copy of the map and put on the cover, you know, a challenge related to the map in terms of a religious group. Should we try and save or witness to that particular religious group? And so that was when it became much broadly understood and broadly used in Christian right. ministries and even beyond.
All right. So, Luis, if you were to just pinpoint the majority of the main religions that had power over that 1040 window, what would they be?
Well, there would be the three large religions of Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism, those
okay.
three.
Other than the Christian faith, they are the other four largest religions in the world, aren't they?
Yes. I'd have to check on the third and the fourth.
Yeah. Now, have you seen, you had the AD 2000 focus.
Right.
At the same time, we had the focus on the turning of the year 2000 and believing that somehow all the computer systems of the world were going to collapse. And
yes.
Y2K, they called it.
Correct.
So these two things were going on at the same time. So my question
yes.
to you is, we did not see the Y2K warnings fulfilled, but how about the efforts, the AD 2000 efforts to reach into the 1040 window? How effective was that?
Well, as you look right now, for example, one case, the largest case of all, which is China, the other one is India, but in mm-hmm. terms of China, it was the primary focus place. Many people responded as you go there today and that were influenced by the vision and were there as missionaries because of a calling that came through their local church mm-hmm. in response. And so what you see now is the church has grown, emerged, and in the midst of persecution, as you point out, there are issues within the country that still recognize the fact that Christianity is not accepted officially mm-hmm. by the government. And so it's an issue of being counter-culture. It's counter-institutional. But in the mm-hmm. midst of that, you see growth in all levels, and now you see their engagement from there. So you see the result, not necessarily of the effort of the 1040 window focus mm-hmm. or the 82,000 focus, but you see God at work
okay.
in his own reasoning and ways to bring about a major change in where the thrust of heart and mission is coming from.
All right, well, that's what happened in the Roman Empire.
Exactly.
The Roman Empire did not move toward the Christian faith because
right.
of some great missionary effort. It moved
yeah.
because of individual followers of Jesus Christ who caught the
right.
vision in their own sphere of influence and affected their sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And in fact, the biggest student is Pyongyang Fang, who is the biggest student. He is a professor at a non-Christian university, and he is the one quoted by the major non-Christian magazines, who has gone and actually lived in Rome for a period of a month to study that period of time of what happened in that period of time. And he sees a very strong parallel, those 10 persecutions that came mm-hmm. the Roman Empire early on. And he sees that taking place in his own country of China. And he's making a connection and showing how it's really a seedbed for expectation of major growth and major influence that is still forthcoming out of China.
All right. So we see what's happening in China. It's the largest population center of the world, followed by India. And in China, the rise against the house churches is dramatic. The government is cracking down on the leaders, thinking that will be able to, they'll be able to crush the movement. In India, however, the crackdown against Christians is taking a little different role. The new president of India has declared that India will be a Hindu country.
Right.
He's come right out and said India will be a Hindu country.
Right.
There is growing civil unrest between
right.
Hindus and Christians and Hindus and Buddhists and Buddhists
yes.
and Christians. And so
yes.
it's coming in a twofold area there. Very unusual. And yet in the midst of it, for instance, by way of illustration, we in our small congregation here in Richmond, Virginia, have been in touch with a pastor there in southern India who has an orphanage with 115 kids. And when we first got involved with them, they had six house churches. Now, these were churches in huts. That's what they call a house church. They now have 49. So here we
yes.
have a man who is serving as a modern-day apostle, launching and sustaining house churches in huts throughout southern India. This is how God is moving, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, we had during the 82,000 vision what we call the North India Harvest Network, which was each of those states of North India, which are so much more resistant to the gospel than those that you're mentioning further
mm-hmm.
south, and say what is happening and stirring up. And we saw that conflict that you were referring to within that region. But what we saw in the North Indian Harvest Network was the emergence of a community of committed that were a new kind of perspective to how do we define the church. We don't have everything that the West necessarily thinks that should be a church, like a huge building
right.
and other things. So they redefine it to a few families that are committed to the vision
mm-hmm.
of the church and are willing to emerge as lay leaders in it. And so it just multiplied right,
right
across that region.
Well, that's exactly what the New Testament church looked like. The New Testament
exactly.
church did not meet in buildings. It met in houses. Surprise, 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 my friends, but
yeah.
that is exactly the case. We'll be back after this. Are you saying yes yet to the Lord? Oh, you have no idea what he may have in store for you and the glory at the other end. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible. But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century. It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building. That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
I wish we had time today on the program to talk about so many of those, the stories of so many of those that our special guest, Louise Bush, has written about in his book, The Yes Effect, Accepting God's Invitation to Transform the World Around You. We don't. But, Louise, you talked about a one-eyed man by the name of Simon. He was a simple shoemaker. Tell us a little about him.
Yes, he was, as you say, a simple shoemaker, and God called him one day into one of the most difficult communities there in Cairo, which is the community of those who survive out of the garbage, a huge garbage community. And the Sama'in is the name. And so he resisted it. There was an individual that invited him in to come and visit. But he was a person with faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And he did not respond until one day he really sensed the burden in his heart. And that's really where it all starts.
All right, so he was not living under the spirit of Egypt or Pharaoh, but under the spirit of the Lord.
Yes, he was. Okay. Exactly. And so he heard when the appeal came again, he went there, and he saw some very remarkable things happen over time, beginning with this small group of people that were living in the most unheard of conditions of need out there. And then one by one, there was a response. There's a person that came to him that had some little gadgets that he was working with out of the garbage. And he began to think of the idea of converting the garbage into a little kind of a factory of those that could put something together and sell it. And that was part of a journey that brought this community to a new place of hope that they could do something constructive other than just try and survive. And out of it came a church. And then the church began to grow. And so they found where could they actually locate a larger space, and they ended up finding in a cave. They began to carve into the cave as the church grew, and now it's the largest church there in Egypt with about 20,000 people. And
unbelievable.
They come from all over the world. Christians come to see and to watch and to meet him, and he's a man full of faith, full of life. So God has done a miracle in that place, and it's his kind of story that does bring hope.
And you've got a lot of these stories in your book, don't you?
Yes, I do. These are all stories like that of people who have opened their hearts and said yes to God and ignited in the process an ongoing local and then growingly global chain reaction that sees glimpses of God's kingdom springing up all over the world.
Yeah, and at the very heart of it is what I believe the biblical heart of hospitality. And
yes.
I think in America we have the wrong idea about hospitality. We think it's about lifting fancy little teacups with our little finger raised up in the air in some sort of hoity-toity, highfalutin kind of setting where women would gather together. But the Bible says, Peter says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore use hospitality. And what this man, this one-eyed shoemaker had was a heart of hospitality for people in the most horrific situation, and God used it profoundly beyond anything that anyone could ask or think.
Absolutely, Chuck. And one of the things that you find there in his story is true today in a Western setting, like it happened this week with my own wife. It's when there's people that are in a community and those people may not identify that much with the community for one reason or the other, and are sort of left out, just as that person coming to him in that setting was. And so my wife had a burden, and it often starts with a burden. She went to this young lady, mother, in the community nearby, and sat down as she was invited in to have a coffee, and then found that this woman was really feeling lonely and not accepted, and, you know, the environment around her, and her heart began to open, and they just spent a lot of time. She didn't expect to spend that much time, but out of it came an invitation to go to a big Bible study the next day, and she was ready to do so. So she joined my wife. went to that Bible study, found friends speaking in their same language in that Bible study, and it's kind of a new life, you know, a new hope emerging there. And so in our context, this can also happen.
All right, so we don't know. You don't know. I don't know. None of us really knows exactly what will happen when we listen to the voice of the Lord in any given situation. The Lord says, okay, I want you to go speak to someone. It doesn't mean we're going to have to hit them over the head with the Bible at the moment.
Right.
There are different ways that we build a relationship. We build a connection there. He may actually say, I want you to talk to them about their salvation.
Right.
Like my printer friend.
Yes.
We have, no matter where we are, God has planted us in these spheres of influence for his kingdom, hasn't he?
Yes, that's correct.
It's a pretty exciting thing. I don't know how one can live the Christian life and not have a sense of anticipation and excitement for almost every day.
Right, and my hope and prayer is that the book will motivate the reader to step out by faith every day as they read the stories of those who have done so and be blessed. The experiences will inspire, they'll be instructive of many throughout the world in the most difficult situations over who in turn will also personify these principles and then their values to influence and impact countless others. That could happen in this context as well, even though it doesn't seem like it's exactly similar in some ways, it's similar in principle in every way.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned the Ukraine.
Yes.
This was part of the Soviet Union, the Iron Curtain, that fell in 1991. And what was left in the wake of the Iron Curtain, Stalinism, and so on? What was left in the wake when that Iron Curtain fell spiritually?
There was so much loss, Chuck, that was left. And one of the expressions of that sense of loss in the community and in the nation were more and more of those that would find themselves in the big cities of the country and not finding a job and homeless. Mm-hmm. And so it's in the midst of that time that that emergence that was manifested specifically that way was suddenly changed when a few people stood up and said, let's respond to this in different ways. Mm-hmm. And so now you had, 20,000 in one of the major cities there in the Ukraine who were sort of homeless. They were finding themselves together in that community. And God working through a world without orphans, which started as Ukraine without orphans, to find those that were orphaned for different reasons. And gradually that number diminished, which is greatly diminished today. And you have a movement that's arisen that every church is to adopt one orphan. Hmm. And it was such a plaguish thing to do that women would try and show that they were pregnant in order not to demonstrate that they actually had. But no longer does that happen. Now they check in it, and on the government level, there's one special person assigned to that, and the wife of the president just last year went out on a very big rally to promote this country without orphans vision that now with the Transform World Movement has been catalyzed into a world without orphans. So what's starting the Ukraine in that manner? The other thing is the war that they've had with this former Soviet Union that's been going on for some time at different levels of intensity. But the Christians have got involved in trying to help and respond to that time holistically.
Yeah.
And there is a transformational movement that has emerged in response to that particular need, as well as the other one. So you have a couple of very meaningful transformational movements that embody the principles that we're talking about in this book and that are demonstrated by people who have lived it out and who write the stories in this book.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Ukraine and Russia because on November 12th, I'm scheduled to speak to one of the largest Russian and Ukrainian churches in the country in Westfield, Massachusetts. This will be about the sixth or seventh time they've asked me to speak there.
Yes.
And the reason they've asked me to speak there is because they came here with a sense of lostness. They were believers. They yes. came here believing that they were finding a nation committed to the ways of the Lord.
Yes.
But have they ever been disillusioned? In fact, they're so disillusioned that their children and their grandchildren are being absorbed in American pop yes. culture and yes. the ways of the world. And so the main reason they asked me to go up and speak is they say, we can trust you to give our people, including our young people, the straight truth. And yes. It's been an amazing experience to go there. They're desperate
right.
To restore righteousness and truth in their spheres of influence there, right here in this yes. country. It's amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. It is amazing.
Okay.
It's at your doorstep. I'm so thankful, Chuck, you're taking up that opportunity and the way that God is using you since you left that business of yours and now through the radio and through these opportunities to minister in churches. Thank God for you.
Well, you know what? Let me just share something, Luis. When the Lord first spoke to my heart about radio as the premier agency to communicate in this generation,
yes.
I did a promo tape and presented it to one of the, well, the largest Christian radio network in the country. And the best friend of the CEO of that took that tape, met me for lunch. He said, okay, I'm going to take this. We're going to listen to it. We'll get back for lunch next week. So we did. And when we got back together, he said, look, we really love what you have to say here, but my 15-year-old son says you have a pipsqueak voice. You have a pipsqueak voice.
And,
hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, so is that's the way we got started on radio.
Amazing.
Being called a pipsqueak voice. Now, the interesting thing about that is that over the past 22 years, I've had hundreds of people say, you have one of the best radio voices I've ever heard. Now,
right.
that being said, it's not to brag, but it's to show
right.
God can take what
yes.
some think to be very negative or inconsequential
yes.
things and
yes.
use them for his glory if we're just willing to say yes.
True. That's the hope, and that's the lesson. That's the storyline of what we're talking about in the Yes Effect. Precisely. You're an example. I hope you would continue to share that example, because who would have thought that you're doing what you're doing, the role that you have, when you were still in that business?
It's well, it's
long,
impossible. Nobody
jump.
Would have ever dreamed it. I wouldn't
right.
have ever dreamed it. And
yes.
It's not to say that this is the greatest ministry in the face of the planet. It's not. But as they say, little is much when God is in it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the lesson.
And that's true for anyone.
Yes.
Let's suppose that somebody has an auto body shop, or they have a mechanic shop, or they have some sort of a small business. Or maybe they have no business at all, but they're a school teacher, or maybe they're involved in some other sphere. Every single person
right.
has a call, don't they?
Right, they do.
The question is, do I hear the call, and am I willing to say yes?
Exactly. Those are the two.
All right.
You got to hear it, and then you got to respond to it.
All right. Now, you had been a gang fella. Then God redeemed you from that. You entered into a business area. God redeemed the
right.
business for the advancement of his business in the world. And now you and I are talking about encouraging people throughout the world to say yes to God in this generation. What an incredible story.
Yes.
Friends, the
Thank
book,
you,
The Yes Effect, Accepting God's Invitation to Transform the World Around You. It's a $15 book, yours for $10. On the program today, it's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And would you consider becoming a partner with us? Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, including today. And God's expecting and relying upon you. God bless you. Be a blessing. And say yes to God. Not yes, but yes.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.